following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
So good morning again. My name is Eric. I have the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel Covenant Church. It was weird to type that out this week. It is really good to be back here today. Erica and I had a great trip to Chicago for ordination. We were able to meet with colleagues and see friends and see family, a lot of family. Erica's parents came from California, and her brother came down from Wisconsin. My aunt and uncle and cousin came down from Wisconsin. My parents were there. So it was really neat. It was a great time to celebrate with them. Got to see some friends from high school, friends from college, from camp, all that stuff. So it was really great. And then I had to go through two votes. It was very nerve-wracking. Especially, they kind of walk us all up front, and they say our names. We're supposed to pause in the middle so everyone can see, and, you know, like, oh, I don't know about this guy, or I don't know about this lady. And then they ask the question after everyone has walked through, is there anybody's name that you want to pull out and vote on separately? And, like, that's where everybody, like, holds their breath. Like, uh-oh. No one did that. Both times, both with the ministerium, all the pastors, and the AGM, they said, yep, yes, hooray for all 83 of these people that were being ordained this weekend. So it was really cool. And then Saturday night, we had a worship service. So it was the closing worship service for the annual meeting that was in Chicago. And one of the cool parts that they do for each group, there's different ordinations to different things, but is have people up on stage and some of the covenant leadership, the superintendents, etc., lay hands on those who are being ordained. Or if you have a parent who is an ordained pastor, to come up and lay hands. So my dad was able to be on stage and had his hand on my head. And actually the guy next to me I was in seminary with. So that was a really cool experience. And the guy who, the man who prayed for all of the ordinands at that time was actually Andy Seabank, who's the pastor at the other Covenant Church, Green Timbers. So it was, just kind of those cool connections. It was a time where I felt really uplifted and encouraged by peers and by leaders of the denomination. But what was really neat, the whole time I was just, like, excited to come back. I wasn't there like, yeah, just this, this is great, never want to leave. It was, this is wonderful, and I'm really happy to be here, and this is neat. But Emmanuel is my home. Emmanuel is my church home, and that's where I'm excited to be back. That was a celebration by a group of peers and colleagues for what God is doing in me and through me here, and that was really, really neat. And so there is this really real sense of anticipation. Different anticipation, I think, for me than for many of the other ordinands there that weekend, but a really cool chance to just get excited about kind of this new season and summer here at Emmanuel. So, there's no doubt in my mind that God is at work here at Emmanuel. There's no doubt in my mind that God is working in individual lives here at Emmanuel and the lives of every one of us here this morning. All right. Kind of trying to, like, so, a couple weeks ago, we put out these four questions, right? And I'm not going to talk explicitly about each of them again. They're there. You have seen them. We've talked about them once. But I will, over the next few weeks, give some framework to some of these things to help kind of cultivate some thought and some prayer time as we, as a church, answer these questions and listen to what God is calling us as a congregation into in this season. So it's probably pretty obvious that I think that all four of these questions are important because I typed them onto this page and then sent them to Erica, who made them look much nicer than they would have if I just left them on that page. But I wouldn't have asked these questions specifically if I didn't think that they were important, if I didn't think that they were important to who we are as a congregation and who we will continue to become and the lives that we will continue to live together. So that third question up there, in order for Emmanuel to be fruitful and effective, we need to... So there's a lot of ways that that statement can end. It can be organizational needs, it can be programmatic needs, it can be outreach needs, it can be spiritual needs, it can be staffing needs, it can be any of a number of things. It leaves it very wide open, and that's kind of the point. But I want us to remember that at the core of all of that is that we need to listen first to what God's call on us is. That is first and foremost what precedes any answer of that question. If we put what God is calling us to behind any of those other things, then we aren't living out our role as a church family. We aren't being the church that God is building. As is often the case with me, I put off writing my sermon until Friday. Some might see that as procrastination. I see that as a good rhythm for me as I'm able to kind of prepare throughout the week, read, listen to what God is saying to me. But I'll be honest, this week did not feel like it was going to come together. And really, that was frustrating because it was kind of like 2 weeks, right? Because I preached on the 22nd last. So, right, you're thinking, well, Eric, what did you do for 2 whole weeks if you weren't working on your sermon? I was. But it just wasn't coming together. I was putting all kinds of pressure on myself for this, and I'm, you know, a little bit of sweat there. I kept kind of putting these thoughts in my head. Eric, this is the first sermon you're preaching as the interim pastor. It had better be good. You just got ordained. People are going to be expecting like something really special, right? You've had months to prepare for what this July series is going to be about. Months, that's a lot of time to, you know, get stuff together. Eric, you just got new commentaries for ordination, you know, as gifts from family. You got to make really good use of those. I was asking advice from people in Chicago, from other pastors, and, you know, spent time just kind of bouncing around my Bible, looking for what that perfect scripture was going to be for this month of July. I was really driving myself nuts. And then there was that beautiful little reminder, the reminder that we see all throughout scripture, that God wants us right where we are. There's a short passage, or really a sentence in a book that I shared with our worship committee once as a devotional. A pastor from Colorado said that she knew that she was called to preach the gospel from where she was and preach where she was from the gospel. That combination of the transformative nature of the gospel, but also her authentic self and what that was. So God wants me to preach from right where I am today. He wanted me to just be honest that I put a lot of pressure on myself for today, and then kind of let some of that go. Not all of it go, but some of it go. But I want to spend time throughout this month of July looking at that idea of God using people just where they are, right where they are. That God takes people from what seem like ordinary places and makes extraordinary things from that. So I want today for us to turn to 1 Samuel 16. We're going to start in verse 1. So you can turn in your Bibles, your Bible apps, etc. And Dave is holding up a Bible to remind me that if you don't have a Bible and would like one, raise your hand and one of our ushers will bring one to you for you to keep. It's one of the great joys of our congregation to give the Word of God to those who desire it. So as you're turning there, let me pray for us this morning and we can dive into God's Word together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a loving God. We thank you that you brought each of us here together this morning. We pray that as we worship together, as we read from your word together, and as we celebrate your supper together, we might be encouraged and we might remember our identity in you, Lord. We pray all of this in the name of your Son. Amen. So starting in verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Find your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by. But Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons that you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and brought him in and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. David. I'm betting we all know stories about David. You know, probably know this one. Certainly have heard David killing Goliath, or you know, stories about David as king. When we think about King David, we probably think about someone who is incredibly qualified, someone who kind of had it all together from the beginning, someone who, you know, generally made good decisions, someone who was prepared, someone who is specifically gifted for this role. But when we read this story of Samuel anointing David, the one that God called, we know that that just wasn't true at the, you know, right away. David wasn't prepared. David wasn't qualified by any worldly standards. David hadn't, when he was called, spent years learning or training to be king. He had seven older brothers. He was probably quite resigned to a life of tending sheep. I mean, that's where he was when Samuel came to meet with all of the other brothers. I can only imagine what David must have felt on that day. It had to be a huge mix of emotions. You know, first he was left out. He was still out in the field as Samuel was meeting his brothers. You know, David was the youngest and he was the smallest, so maybe he wouldn't have expected the invite anyway. But I've known enough younger siblings who hate being left out to imagine that David, though he may have been dutifully tending the sheep, was probably not thrilled at being left out in the field. And then he gets the call, right? Maybe someone shouting from the house, maybe a servant running to find him, maybe one of his brothers begrudgingly trekking out to find David. And David gets brought back to meet Samuel. And at that point, who knows what David was thinking, right? He may have been confused why just now he was being brought to the house. He may have been excited to finally be included. He may have been scared out of his mind. Like, you know, Samuel's like this important guy, like, uh-oh. But I'm willing to bet David didn't go into this meeting with Samuel expecting to become king. David was a shepherd. He was small. He was young. He hadn't had training to be a king. It wasn't even, you know, it wasn't his birthright to become king. That was Jonathan. That was Saul's son. Now, there really wasn't anything that would make us expect David to be anointed king of Israel by Samuel, except that he was God's chosen. God chose David. God said to Samuel, "Rise and anoint this one." This one. This is the man that God chose to lead Israel after Saul failed. Not someone who had all the education and practice of ruling a kingdom. Not someone who had great physical gifts. Not someone who was particularly gifted in other ways at this time. No, David was anointed because God picked him. God called David to this position. God called David to rule over Israel. God called David to follow him, to learn and to grow and to serve. God called David to shepherd his people. God called David. And then, And then God equipped David. It is after David is anointed that the Spirit is with him. We read in verse 13, "So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David." God called David from the fields. God called David from a very ordinary life. God called David first and then equipped him, challenged him, taught him, prepared him to lead the life he was meant to lead and to lead the people of Israel. God put people in David's life, Samuel and others, that prepared David to be that king. I think there's a sense in which that we hear this and we understand it, you know, kind of like that like Sunday school Bible story sort of way. We get that God calls the youngest and the smallest. We get that, you know, David was faithful. Well, of course, David was faithful, and so this is what happened. But I think there's also a sense in which David still feels like this larger-than-life character, right? He's King David. He was, you know, arguably the most famous king in Israel's history. Probably not that arguably. There's a giant statue of him sculpted by Michelangelo thousands of years after David was alive. And apparently it is giant. I've never seen it, but I was reading a book recently and was shocked to read that that statue is 517 centimeters. And for those of you who don't do centimeters, that's almost 17 feet tall. That's a huge, huge statue. So at least in Michelangelo's depiction, David is significantly larger than life. But I don't want us to lose the place where David started. I don't want us to lose that God called David from right where he was, from the fields tending sheep, from something quite ordinary into extremely extraordinary life. In my years at camp, I had the privilege, usually the privilege, sometimes it was a chore, of reading applications and interviewing potential staff members. Often, I had lots of people who were really interested in what it felt, or really interested in kind of the more basic jobs, you know, the kitchen jobs. There were always tons of people who wanted to do that. Junior counselors, counselors, maintenance, etc. And it was much, much, much more difficult to wrangle up applicants for the leadership positions, for the head counselors, for the program directors, for the leaders in training, for the assistant director, for those roles. And it was difficult kind of for a similar reason that actually sent me to Pilgrim Pines when I first started there. I grew up at a camp in Minnesota at Covenant Pines. I had awesome counselors there. Like, I looked up to them like crazy. I thought they were, perfect counselors. You know, I made great friends, all of that. And when I was thinking about working at a camp in college, I thought, I definitely don't measure up to what I remember of those counselors that I had when I was younger. Like, that's not me. I can't do it. I don't have that same personality. I am not equipped to be that role. So I followed kind of that fear. Also, a girl that I had a crush on. It wasn't Erica, so don't. To a different camp that ended up being great. But, you know, there was that sense where I totally shied away from what I thought was the correct way. People who were totally equipped to do things. And those were some of the same answers I would get from people who wouldn't apply for the leadership positions. I don't think I'm ready. I don't know if I can handle it. I could never be Uncle Davo or Uncle Buck or Miss Gotch. They were so great. They knew exactly what they were doing. They were so ready for that position. They were so great at it. Like, they, you know, they had all these great ideas. They were awesome. And the little secret that I knew was that Uncle Davo and Uncle Buck and Miss Gotch and all these other former leadership staff that the younger staff really looked up to were scared out of their minds when they first began to. And opening up that perspective, being able to have that conversation with some of these prospective leadership staff folks, helped them gain new confidence in what God could use them to do for that summer at camp. Many of those staff members, with a little push, were simply faithful to what God was calling them into. They listened and they responded. And through their faith in God and through owning the calling they were stepping into, they became wonderful leaders. They weren't wonderful leaders when they started, at least not all of them. For some, they had never been in any kind of leadership role before, but God was working in them. God was preparing them, and God was equipping them for that ministry. Are we individually waiting until we feel like we have things together enough, are prepared enough, are equipped enough to step out in faith and follow where Jesus is calling us to follow him? Are we allowing the fears of seeing others do things well get in the way of hearing and responding to God's call for us? It's really freaking me out. Sorry. Are we too worried about getting it right to step into what God is calling us to just do? And I get that. I'm the kind of person who really likes to have all my ducks in a row before I hop into something, anything, really. But I'm learning that that's not necessarily what God expects. God expects from me just faithfulness. God expects from all of us faithfulness. God wants to meet us right where we are. He calls us right where we are. He calls us into more, into better, into fullness. He calls us into fellowship with him. He calls us into a life of love, a life of grace, and a life of service. God doesn't expect us to get there on our own. He just expects us to respond to his call. For me, as we prepare to celebrate the Lord's Supper together, that is a really important reminder that God is calling to me right where I am. God is calling you to the table from right where you are. As we move into the celebration of Holy Communion, I invite you to reflect on right where you are and what God is calling you to. What God is doing, what is God doing in your life? What does God want to do through you? I want us to take just a couple of moments of silence to reflect on that, to remember Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, who called to us to share in this meal together. I invite you to take this time to examine the state of your faithfulness and the unity that we share within this body. Loving God, you graciously feed us as we receive this bread of life and the cup of eternal salvation. May we who are to receive the sacrament be strengthened in your service. May we who have sung your praises tell of your glory and truth. We who have seen the greatness of your love see you face to face in your kingdom. For you have made us your own people by the death and resurrection of your Son, our Lord, and by the life-giving power of your Spirit. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.